It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman with David Hyde. After nearly losing the contract to build Boeing's 777X airplane, the region's economic leaders are thinking hard about the future. Boeing entertained offers from several states before it chose to build the plane in Everett, only after it nailed down major tax breaks and labor concessions. That process made quite an impression. Now Snohomish County economic leaders say local aerospace suppliers should think hard about how they can balance their books with less work from Boeing. Here now with analysis on this story and others, Seattle Times economic columnist and regular KUOW commentator John Talton. Hello.
Hi, Marcy.
So, John, say you're a Boeing supplier. The idea of diversifying, in this case, imagining that you get less work from your biggest customer, how would that sound to you?
Well, I would be under the gun already because Boeing is really pressuring its suppliers to lower costs. And so diversification is a good thing. We have a bunch of suppliers here who make parts and products for Airbus.
Well, I know in the general state, we have managed to diversify our economy. You've come in and talked with us about that quite a bit. But according to the Herald Business Journal, there are some companies in Snohomish County that 90% of their business is with Boeing. They quote a guy named John Monroe of the Economic Alliance of Snohomish County who says, and I quote, "If I owned that company or I managed that company, that 90% number would really bother me." Why is that a bothersome figure?
Any smaller business, or larger one for that matter, that has one big customer is always on the cusp of danger, because that one big customer can go away. That one big customer can change its specifications in a way that you can't meet the costs. And so driving down that 90% is a good thing if it can be done. The problem that Snohomish County faces is that its economy is very heavily dependent on Boeing. Now, a lot of Boeing employees don't live there, but the big assembly is there and a lot of aerospace companies are there. And I don't know if it's realistic to say that in the immediate future they can diversify away from that Boeing dependence. But to the extent that they can work for more companies, that's a good thing.
Can a business who's part of the Boeing supply chain actually insulate itself from some decision that's made in the Boeing boardroom in Chicago?
No.
I mean, quick answer. Okay.
That is the hard truth that these companies face. And this is, as we've spoken many times before, this is not grandfather's or even your mother's Boeing. This is a very different company. And it's operating to redistribute money upwards to its top executives and its shareholders by any means possible, driving down wages, pressuring suppliers to lower their costs. And this is the new world that these companies are going to have to live in.
I remember back during the frenzy about landing the 777X contract that there was some talk from some officials at the state about wooing more business from the only other place that you'd get it from, Airbus, Boeing's main competitor. Whatever happened to that?
Well, I think that the 777 project sucked all the oxygen out of the room, and I don't know that it's moved forward much. We do some Airbus work here, but Airbus has set its assembly down in the south, and they are taking advantage of that relatively lower labor cost. If you want to live in Alabama, good for you. Roll Tide, and nothing against Auburn either. It is going to be very hard to land major Airbus operations here. Now, as China builds up its aerospace capacity, maybe that's a possibility. Using some of the fundamental skills and engineering and research that we have to go over to other sectors like renewable energy is another possibility. This is something we need to think about harder.
Last week, Jim McInerney, the chief executive of Boeing, shook timbers and ruffled feathers by talking about moving thousands of engineering jobs out of the state. And he said it was kind of like, I'm telling you A, but I'm really not saying A, I'm saying B. He says this is great for the company, but this is just a few months after the state lawmakers gave Boeing a massive and guaranteed long-term tax break. And after the employees also negotiated a different set of pension plans than they had had before. So is this bait and switch?
You could say that. I mean, this is a man out of a Dilbert cartoon. How do you know an executive is not telling you the truth? His mouth is moving. This is a huge brain drain for Boeing, because many of these engineers are going to stay here, and it is hoped they'll start new companies, and those companies will have breakthroughs. If you want your airplanes designed by cheap, young engineers in the South, good luck with that. It's a big risk. And again, it comes down to this sea change in corporate culture over the past 20 years to push everything for short-term shareholder, quote-unquote, value, and the long-term is, not my problem.
I'm talking with Seattle Times business writer John Talton. One other story to touch on briefly this week. The debate over the minimum wage in Seattle continues. Last week, we expected to hear from Mayor Ed Murray on Thursday. Instead, he came to reporters 3 hours after he had originally scheduled to speak with them and said, "We need more time." What does that mean?
It means that there is significant pushback from a lot of businesses about $15. It is an arbitrary number. I don't know where they got it. I mean, is it a moral thing to do? Sure. But we got in this mess through really 35 years of steady policy changes, beating down and destroying unions, changing the tax structure, not investing in education and research and development the way that we used to, that has denuded the middle class, and just picking $15 out of the air and saying we in the city limits of Seattle are going to do this is a big risk.
I also want to know how it fits in with the conversation about raising the minimum wage that's theoretically taking place in Congress at the federal level. It's something President Obama has brought up. What happens in a country where states and municipalities raise wages, but nothing happens on the federal level?
Well, the folks at the Brookings Institution want you to believe, and they're all good people, that the states and the municipalities and metros can take the lead in these things. But as we just saw here, we're going to destroy our bus system because we as a county can't even agree on keeping the minimal bus system we have right now. And so the national debate is about raising it above $10 an hour. If you factored in productivity, minimum wage ought to be about $27 an hour right now. But the policy changes in Washington are frozen in place. Maybe a higher minimum wage will happen. $10 an hour is not enough to be self-sufficient on.
John Talton, economics and business columnist for the Seattle Times, joins us every other Monday to talk about this sort of thing. Thanks, John. Always nice to have you in here.
Thanks, Marcy.
With David Hyde, I'm Marcy Silman. You're with The Record on KUOW.